This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
1, 2, 1, 2. All right, we're just going to record. All right.
Uno, dos.
My name is Jimmy McKay.
Mi nombre es Jimmy McKay.
We are recording live from Costa Rica.
Estamos en vivo desde Costa Rica.
I'm here with my translator, Milena. And we are here on a service learning trip with our physical therapy class from Marymount University.
Estamos en un viaje de servicio con la Universidad Marymount.
We're treating patients for 2 weeks.
Estamos tratando pacientes por 2 semanas.
This is part of our clinical education experience.
Y esto es parte de nuestra
if you would do it. All right, so the deal is we're down here. We're in Costa Rica. This has been a trip that Marymount University has done for the last 6 years. We come down, we work at, and now it's up to 3 sites. We're at 3 different locations. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. But this is a little bit later than happy hour because we worked all day at our clinical sites here in Costa Rica, and now we are just trying to push curfew back as far as possible. So recorded live at Hooligans in Alajuela, Costa Rica. Was that Spanish accent? Alajuela?
Muy bien.
All right. But we come down and we treat patients for 2 weeks and really spread the ability of what physical therapy means around the world. So this is a pretty cool experience. Plus, it's February and we're in Costa Rica. So that's not necessarily a bad thing to do. So going to interview some classmates now, which is the first time I've ever actually done this, which is talking to some fellow classmates, fellow PT students in my class, the class of 2016, and just get their feelings. What happened? What's been happening? Because we're spread across a very wide array of patients. Patient populations go from, I think the youngest patient we've seen has been a little bit over a year old. And the oldest, I think we've got some patients in their 90s. And we're telling our parents and our friends that we're going to come and work in orphanages. And I don't think that word translates very well in America, because in an orphanage you think 18 hit the bricks. And an orphanage that where we work at, and Manos Abiertas. Yeah, well, she said, you're there for life. You're taken in, and they take care of you. You become part of their family with open hands for the rest of your life. So we have patients who are less than a year old and all the way up to above 90 who are spending their whole life there because they can't be taken care of anywhere else. But I wanted to get not just my interpretation, because I've got a couple stories, but I wanted to get everybody else's stories too. So we're going to lead off with Milena. The idea is we're going to ask you for a serious story and a funny story, and you can elaborate whatever that means to you, because we've worked for, well, we start Sunday. This is our 6th day, and we're going to go again tomorrow for 7. If you can remember a couple of moments that really made you laugh, made you definitely want to tell your family and your friends once you get home. So what do you want to lead off with? You want to go serious?
Yeah.
Or do you want to go serious first? All right. Are you going with Trevor on this one? All right. So it's Milena with her classmate, my roommate Trevor, and you guys work together. They do pair us up each day, and it's a random pairing, and then you get your full schedule. So what's your serious story from today? What happened?
From today, it was actually our last patient of the day. When we picked her up this afternoon from kind of the house where they live, she was a little more serious today than usual. Very quiet, more so than usual. She usually just like asks for a hug and like a kiss and everything, but that did not happen. So we picked her up and we took her to the gym. She had been walking actually a couple of days ago for like the first time in a long time. So today she was feeling really tired, so we just went with another plan. Trying to think about what Julie told us in neuro class, see what you see and work with the trunk. So that's how we started.
During the treatment, got about halfway through and she kind of went blank on us and wasn't participating much. And one of the therapists that was there, who sees her all the time, came up to her and approached her and asked if everything was all right. And all of a sudden she started tearing up and crying. Of course, we didn't know what was going on, but she eventually had told us that she just wasn't being herself and she was very emotional. And during that whole moment, we were kind of wondering what was going on, but she told us everything's all right, and we continued our session. And after all that, we actually got her laughing and throwing a ball, and we were able to take her home and she was fine. But
But it was just really difficult, like watching a patient break down like that, and especially because she's cognitively there, she knows what's going on, but physically she just can't work with her body doesn't work with her. So it's just like really hard to see kind of both spectrums of patients who are either physically, you know, disabled and also cognitively versus patients who are physically disabled but not cognitively, and they know exactly what's going on, and that really I can't imagine. It's only a difficult thing to deal with.
So let's explain, because we've heard about this trip being in PT school for 3 years. We've heard about this trip from the classes two ahead of us, one ahead of us. And now that we're here, I don't think I really understood what it was like. How are you going to explain to your parents when you go home, your friends, or your boyfriend, your girlfriend? What are you going to say? Because I definitely couldn't picture it in my head. And now that I'm here, I kind of get it. They live on site. You know, they stay there for the duration until they can leave. And if they can't, which most of them cannot, they're there for their life. The sisters there really do take them in, and they're very protective. The first couple days we were there, the physiotherapists that were there were kind of like looking at us like, you know, you're just going to come in. Who are you? We don't really trust you, which I liked. I mean, I actually kind of looked at that and respected that they didn't want to just hand over their patients. And now I get it. They're not just their patients. They live there. This is part of their family. So how would you explain it to someone when you go home?
I kind of see it as a sanctuary for these patients.
It's a good word.
As for these people, they're not just patients. Kind of as you come up from the side road, there's this huge gate with like a, you know, a guard and everything. And right as you enter, you see this hospital with like this huge cross and like
what's on the cross?
It's an anatomical
heart. The anatomists out there are loving the fact that it's not that Valentine's Day Hallmark heart. It is
right.
An anatomically drawn heart.
It is.
Awesome.
It's true. It's the real deal. It's what's inside.
But something that you just said struck me. What do they call the people that live there?
I mean, we're used to calling them patients.
Right, but what do they call
them?
Residents.
Yeah.
But they're, instead of patients, or you know, they're not customers or clients, obviously. But they're not patients. To them, they just call them residents.
Yeah.
You live here.
Yeah.
This is your house, and we also take care of you. I kind of like that at first. That was something I haven't worked in a subacute or an acute setting yet. So hearing them called residents was kind of like, hey, yeah, this is your house. This is your ground.
Which is a really tough word to swallow, I think. Because like when we went in there, Trevor and I went in there today to pick up one of our patients / resident. We actually had to wait for him quite a bit because he was being, you know, changed, brushing teeth, everything after lunch. And in the meantime, we were kind of being pulled left and right by all these different residents who live there. And the bathroom is a communal bathroom. And, you know, they're sitting there with, I don't know, just, it was kind of like, it was a little heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, the place outside is really gorgeous. There's so many flowers and it's very well kept.
So many, the residents compared to so little caregivers or a nurse. And these guys are just running around in the house, doing whatever they please, and they're outside, and just so little care compared to what they need. It's just sad to kind of see how when we show up, they all just swarm immediately, like she said.
Attention.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, really, why don't we walk in the gate? There's four of them standing at the gate, and then we walk into the house, and there's, you know, six more waiting. And, you know, some of them are in kind of awkward positions, or...
Or, like, literally, like, just arm around your shoulder, don't let you go. Come this way, come that way.
The first day when we walked in there as a class, a full class, and we broke it up into three teams. That first day, I consider myself to be able to handle some different social situations decently well. And that first day, I was a little bit
taken aback.
Yeah, that's a good way to pull it. Because they did. They had no problems coming up to you and putting your arm around you and saying, you know, and repeating, you know, passe, passe, or aga, 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 because they just wanted attention. Some of them are grown men who could probably bench press a truck, so you're kind of like, whoa, 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 easy. But to them, you're just someone, just please, you know, you can see in their face now I'm, you know, it's 4 or 5 days in, we can see it, it's just pay attention to me. I will say this, as few caregivers as they have, the little subtle things, and, you know, I'm a cynical New Yorker, I look for things like this. Every day they're wearing different clothes. Every day, you know, when I work with a patient, I'm on the mat and they're there and I'm very close, their hair smells like shampoo. And I'm just looking for something that says, well, maybe it's not great as they say it is. You know, they all have really, really nice shoes. You know, like all the shoes are in good, and they make sure that all the residents are clean and fed. And so your patient today, I was in the gym too with another patient and saw that. And this is a patient that I had already worked with earlier in this week and was just all smiles and everything with sunshine and rainbows, which is actually most of the residents' temperament. Most of them are very happy to be there. And she really just got sad. She got super sad. And then by the end, it was good because you guys and the physio, full-time physio, was able to make her feel a little better. And I think that wouldn't be possible unless they have that kind of relationship and that kind of care on site. So now that we went all sad on everybody, what's your funny story from the week? Milena, you go up.
Okay, this guy just made my day. This little, what, how old is he? Like, I don't know. I don't even know how old he is, but he's just a cute little thing. And he was all smiles in his wheelchair, but of course he's like, his neck is all to one side. And we're trying to figure out how to make him look to the other side and control his head to the other side. And I think it's safe to say that we failed miserably. We tried so hard, every which way. You know who I'm talking about. Because you treated him yesterday, Jimmy, you did. And you guys, I remember at the end of your session, you were like putting the wheelchair like in a different position so that he would have to, because he loves like seeing what's going on
just
around.
Just wants to look at the room.
Right. He's so, you know, he's very engaged with everything but what's in front of him,
right.
Which in that case happened to be us. So maybe we could have done that a little bit differently.
You got a funny moment from this week. It doesn't have to be from today. It could be from the rest of the week.
Sure.
What do you got? Something made people giggle at home.
We have some patients who are nonverbal, some who are able to communicate. Most of us coming down here to Costa Rica do not know Spanish hardly at all.
Which is why we want to commend Milena for being
Milena,
our resident translator. Thank you.
We are trying to communicate with these patients as best as possible, and we're telling them to stand up, and we're using all these one-word terms that probably aren't even making sense. But we had one resident who is able to speak and communicate with us. We were talking to her and giving her commands, and then all of a sudden she goes and tells the interpreter, their Spanish is terrible. It makes absolutely no sense. And the interpreter starts dying laughing, and we're like, well, what'd she say? And we're waiting for something serious to happen, and she said, well, she said your Spanish is absolutely terrible. Everybody's just laughing, and we've had people say certain things, such as to turn your head, which is cabeza, head. We've had someone say cerveza, which is beer.
Turn your beer.
So one patient was told to turn his beer.
He did not have a beer in the PT
gym. He did not have a beer during this treatment session. But
it is funny to see a bunch of, you know, essentially just white kids from Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah.
Like, most of us don't speak a lick of Spanish.
But they're doing great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Catching on so quickly.
So Trevor and I don't speak Spanish. What's your favorite term so far you've grabbed onto? What phrase works well for you?
I personally love the term tire.
Which
means throw.
Okay, so you're trying to get patients to throw.
Yeah.
I like mírame.
Yep.
Did I say that right? Look at that, first time.
Or así, which means like this.
Yeah, I like mírame, which means...
Eso.
Eso is good. Mírame is like me, or do you like me, or mirror,
no,
mirror
look
me.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at me, like do what I do, look
right.
at me.
So I've been using that one because I'm just like, you can do Spanish, maybe try a little bit of English, might work, probably not. I go full pantomime and just go, I need you to do this and mírame.
But honestly, like, we also do have this campamento, which is kind of this fun day with our resident, and we each assigned a resident. Here I am, thinking that it's going to be so great, like I already have Spanish down and everything. You know, a good portion of these residents are nonverbal, so which means that it's really hard to communicate with them as far as you telling them and them telling you. So, and my resident happens to be someone who is nonverbal, and that was very challenging for me. Has been very challenging because it's still a way to try to find a way to communicate that's not just language. It's your body language, it's your smile on your face, it's your touch, whatever. So, yeah, I think that's definitely something else that's
been. Well, would you recommend, because even if you don't do something like this in PT school, there are companies out there that book these trips. I know a guy by the name of Justin Dunaway goes to Haiti with an organization called Stand for Haiti, and it makes these trips with PT students, nursing students, nurses, PTs, practicing PTs. Why should someone do something like this?
It's just super rewarding to come down here and make a difference because these residents are what it seems like they're going to be here for their whole life. And the physical therapists here, there's only three of them and there's so many residents, and they can only do so much because they're seeing one patient by themselves, whereas a big group like this, we come down and we're treating groups of two, three, and we're able to do things that they're not. And throughout this week, we've been able to stand up patients who haven't stood before. We've been able to walk patients who haven't walked before.
How's that?
I mean, that's... It's really an unbelievable feeling because...
So who was the patient that stood for the first time with the PT, because they don't have the time or the resources, said that patient had never stood before?
Right, they said she was super combative, aggressive. Miss V, we'll call her Miss V. She was, you know, willing to try with us, and we were able to stand her up, and then she stood up so well, we said, well, why don't we try walking? Let's take a step. And she took a few steps and, you know, kept going, and... She didn't stop. We were kind of worried what was going to happen, but she kept going. And throughout the whole thing, she was smiling, looking around, and
just needed a chance.
Yeah, she knew what she was doing, and she was so excited. And when she was done, she sat down in one of the local, what's Sonia?
Sonia would be triple liaison.
But she was there and she was able to, you know, talk to her about it, and then she actually started crying, and to be able to experience that moment was pretty unreal, and it's just great to see because you're making a huge difference in someone's life.
It is cool to watch your classmates work with patients around the gym and watch a moment happen and hear people genuinely get excited. I know we try to motivate people with clapping and kind of raising our voices to get them excited, but you can tell that the pitch changes in a classmate's voice when something truly amazing is going to happen, when you see someone stand up. You know, today I worked with Kay. Kay stood up and was motoring in the parallel bars. We got him to the end and we were going to sit him down with a wheelchair. He just turned around and came on back. Did it again, and then he went back to the wheelchair. We thought he was going to sit down because he wasn't lifting his head up, kind of not engaged. And then he literally pushed myself and the wheelchair aside, let him go, and walked to the ball pit and sat in a big old ball pit and with just a big old shit-eating grin on his face and said, you know what? No one let me do this. And now I am, and I'm going to sit in these balls and just toss them around the room. And that's cool.
Thing is, everybody, too, sees that when it's happening, and everybody stops, watches, or helps.
Yeah.
And everybody was throwing out like suggestions, or
try this, moving
everything out of the way so we could keep going. And as a class, it's fun to see that because everybody's wanting more to happen, and everybody chipped in and laughed. It just is great to see.
What's the first thing you'll tell your parents when you get home? How it was? How are you gonna explain this?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'm gonna tell them is that I want to do it again.
All right, good.
And that they're coming with me maybe next time. I mean, that'd be great. Actually, I'm sure they would love it. Honestly, it's been a really emotional time for me. Like, especially this past weekend. I think I just remember my interview day with Dr. Venskis. She was the actual one who interviewed me, and now she's our trip leader. So it's like, holy cow! It's already been almost 3 years. This is happening, this is real, like we're gonna graduate in August and then we just go out and do this thing that we've been taught to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for that I'm like really grateful for. It's also a really emotional time. I kind of went into this profession because my cousin was a really huge inspiration for me, and so I want to dedicate this to her. She unfortunately passed in November, so I just keep thinking of her and like how much she would love to do this and how she wants to like work with kids who are, you know, who have greater needs. So anyway, I just keep thinking about that, and I'm just really grateful to be here. So.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Yeah. And I know the work that you're doing here now is going to matter, and it's gonna last a little bit longer than our 2 weeks here. I know it will. So thank you for sharing that. What about you? How are you going to wrap this up? What are you going to tell Sterling when you get home? You tell the girlfriend.
A lot of hard work. Everybody's been putting in hours from early in the morning till late at night, writing everything down so these guys here in Costa Rica can continue what we've been doing.
So we document pretty hard.
Yeah.
We document throughout the day, then about a couple hours when we go home, and that's the idea, is to leave the PTs here with an idea of ways to progress.
Exactly.
Their patients.
So we can keep it going. We don't want us to come through and then it just stopped after that.
Right.
So we're ordering wheelchairs for residents there that have ill-fitting wheelchairs. You know, nothing's fit properly, so having the wheelchair that fits them, their anatomical structure, that allows them to be set up for success and proper positioning. So it's a big deal. I mean, we're talking $5,000 to $10,000 worth of equipment here with one paper.
Let's get it right.
Yeah. So it's a pretty big deal, and feels pretty good to be that important in somebody's life, or you know, ordering $5,000 to $10,000 worth of equipment and making it right for somebody. Just that whole work process we're going through, but we're doing it for a good cause. You know, everybody's really enjoying it, despite the fact we're all super tired. But it's worth it.
Yeah, I agree. All right. We're gonna talk to you guys more later on this trip. This isn't the last time I want to hear some stories. We've got another week here, and I like everything I've heard so far. So we're going to catch up with you guys in a little bit. Let's have another beer.
Yeah.
Another Imperial. All right, another story coming up next.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure.
DJ, please.
Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast proudly supports the Wounded Warrior Project. Since 2003, the Wounded Warrior Project has been raising funds and awareness for the needs of injured service members, helping injured servicemen and women with aid and assistance, and to provide unique direct programs and services to meet their needs. Their continuing goal is to foster the most successful, well-adjusted generation of wounded service members in our nation's history. To find out how you can help the Wounded Warrior Project, visit them online at woundedwarriorproject.org. Follow us on Twitter at PT Pintcast and online at ptpintcast.com. It's like TMZ, except with way more important information. And no Miley Cyrus. Okay, it's not like TMZ at all.
All right, so second set of victims here at the happiest of all hours. Let's talk about beer first. Alyssa and John, two of my classmates, also third-year PT students at Marymount University. What are you drinking?
Drinking some Coronas.
Coronas. I'm doing Imperial. John, what did you have?
Well, Jefe Jimé.
Jefe.
I had a Imperial to start. And then what was the first one you
what
had?
What was that beer we ordered? Casa Madre?
Mama Candela. That was my second one.
It was cocoa and honey beer.
It was delicious. I'm still waiting for my third one.
So the questions that we're trying to get out of people, give me a story, either serious, and then I want one funny.
So one of my favorite ones was from today, and it was a little girl with tea. Super flat affect. She wasn't showing any emotion whatsoever today, doing like raspberries on her tummy and feet, absolutely nothing. And super low tone everywhere. We couldn't really get her to do a whole bunch until I finally asked John. I was like, put her in my arms. And he did, and I spun her around in circles, and I finally got a laugh out of her. And I was so excited. I was like, yes, I won. I got a laugh out of you. And she was so
happy. She wouldn't
give
it up, huh?
I know. She wouldn't give it up.
What about you? Something funny. Let's go funny first.
Jimmy, if you don't mind, I'd like to combine both of my...
Let's do funny and serious.
All right. Actually, it was when I was working with you the other day. So there was a girl we were doing a wheelchair eval on, and Jimmy let me take the lead on that one. We were doing the wheelchair eval, and the wheelchair she came with just didn't seem right. You know, she was way more active than the wheelchair would let her be. And so we're taking the measurements, and she was doing tall kneeling, she was bridging, she was spinning, she was twirling. I mean, you couldn't see this girl straight.
When we got her, I just want to clarify, when we got her, when the physiotherapist brought her to the gym,
right.
She was in this wheelchair, very constrained, and she wasn't moving. It was like she was wearing a straitjacket.
Right.
She just was kind of, she submitted, she wasn't moving. We got her out, and she was nuts.
And I want to clarify, Jimmy, Alyssa and I saw her yesterday, same thing.
Wild
exact same
woman.
Thing.
When she's in the wheelchair, she's completely passive. The second we got her out of there, man, the girl was off the wall. It was awesome.
So, again, Jimmy, let me take a lead on that one, which was awesome. And, you know, after a while, I was like, you know what? This girl is 5 years old, very low tone, hydrocephalus, you know, she was beautiful, and she had very low tone, but, you know, she definitely had the strength for everything. And I just looked at Jimmy, he's like, let's walk her. Let's do it. And he's like, let's do it, man. You know, I got her hips, he got her knees, and she had the pattern down.
She knew it.
She just knew it all along. That was the first time in her whole 5 years she ever walked.
They never tried.
Never tried.
Yeah. They looked at her and they thought, no way.
Exactly. They never gave her the opportunity. And, you know, Jimmy obviously let me take the lead on that one. Diana, our professor, was with us. I said, let's walk her. And they had the faith in me to be like, let's do it. They didn't even question it. They just said, let's go. And I thought that was... awesome. Both of them had the faith in me to be like, I knew what I was talking about. As a PT student, that's honestly really hard to come by.
Well, that's the cool opportunities we get here is that we're able to make a bunch of decisions with patients that I have not yet worked with. You guys have worked in different settings with patients similar to this, or yes, no?
We both did inpatient neuro rehab this past CP2, but truly nothing could prepare you for this.
Severely disabled.
It's a completely different ballgame.
Right. Not to change the story, can I get back to the other one real quick? But let me change the story. Just what Alyssa said, it was perfect because we had an eval yesterday, and I remember the PTs brought this girl up, and she had macrocephaly and contractures everywhere. Like, I mean, just, and I remember looking at her and like, I have no idea what to do.
Where do I start?
Yeah, and professors look at us and they're like, we don't even know what to do. Try something. And that's what's awesome. That's the cool thing about this trip is
try
like,
something.
Just try something. Just do something. Give these kids something. I love that about this trip this whole week, and that's probably the best thing I can tell people is like, just try something, do something, get up and do something.
Get a reaction, do like a stretch, do like a movement, do a motion, anything to get either a physical or emotional reaction out of these people, not even kids, even adults, and it's crazy.
Yeah. I have to go back to the funny part of the story. Jimmy knows what I'm going to get to. So we were moving her around and we're like trying different stuff, and she bit my arm. Like, she tasted my arm, and it was like it has hot sauce on it. Like, it was chicken.
Filet mignon.
I was like, oh, my gosh, she bit my arm.
Biting off arm.
Yeah, and then Jimmy's like, oh, that's so weird. And he went to go pick her up, like, probably 5 minutes later, and she's like, she bit my face.
She bit my face.
And she didn't mean to do it mean. And she bit Alyssa yesterday, too.
Bit my arm, you know, it's all
she
good.
Just got excited.
It's just a thing about, like, oral
again,
motor.
Again,
oral
wait, motor. I was talking about this with Milena and Trevor. It's attention. They're getting a lot of attention when, you know, 35 of us roll into their home. And that's how they react to attention, because they don't get it enough.
Well, one of the patients, we'll call her W, and she actually is very wary of human touch because she never had it before.
Yeah.
She literally never had human touch, and she is 15 years old.
Wow.
So if anyone can...
That end developmentally 4 months old, if that.
And she's 15 years old, and I don't think you can honestly understand. I don't think anybody, I can't.
No.
Being 15 years old and never being touched in your entire life.
I've been in an ortho setting so far, and I never thought I had to write patient's age X and patient's developmental age Y. I just haven't come across that, and now I'm like, oh God, I get it now. I get it.
In inpatient rehab, you know, you never know what you're gonna get. You never know what you're gonna get. But here is just like a whole nother ball game.
What about your funny moment from the week?
One of my residents is 53, and she's a gossip girl. She like knows everybody's business.
One of those.
Throughout all the buildings, knows everybody, gives kisses to everybody. And so she's telling me and our other classmate Gabby about another patient. She goes, shh, secret. And Gabby and I are like, well, we're the best secret keepers ever because we have no idea what you just said. So, certainly,
we don't
be a
speak
secret.
Spanish.
It was very fun.
What would you tell someone if they're like, should I go on a trip like this?
I would say even in anything, any CP, clinical that you have, take advantage of any single opportunity you have, even if it's something like a meeting or like a workshop, even to something big like going to Costa Rica or going to a different country to practice PT. Take every single opportunity you possibly can. See anything. Do anything.
Why should someone do something like this?
Jimmy, I'm going to challenge every PT out there, PT, PT student, PTA student, PTA. I'm going to challenge you. Go out of the country. I'm going to challenge you. Do it. Just we are so accustomed to the American ways, productivity, documentation. But I want every person listening, I don't care who you are, just do it. Just try something. I want you to go somewhere, any country that people are less fortunate than we are, and just try something. Because you know what? People in other countries like Costa Rica, like we are now, these kids in this orphanage who are abandoned, literally their families left them because they didn't want them. Try something.
And if you're worried about the setting or the language barrier, like I was super worried about that, there's no reason for you to be worried. But you can use sign language or, mime something or talk to somebody else who might know broken English and work your way around it.
It doesn't matter. Even a gringo like me has been able to fudge his way through some pretty crappy Spanish.
Show your love for your trade, man. Like, that's really what it is. If you're passionate about it, nobody's going to care where you're from or what you're doing as long as you show that you're passionate about it.
If you hate your job, like, just come here and just try something. And then you'll realize, like, you know what? I have it made. Like, this...
So I want more stories just like this. No more biting. No more eating arm hair.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.